and welcome to an emergency edition of the Early Stoppage Podcast. I'm John Franklin. That's Craig Allen. Craig, Khabib's retired officially, I guess, again. Dana's now accepting it. He's into that stage of the grieving process. And we are now officially in the upside down. So let's do a state of the divisions. We wanted to do this a couple weeks ago, but then we realized there was so much that was going to happen after we did it that what was the point of doing it then once we got the big card a couple weeks ago out of the way? Now with the Khabib news this time, doing it at this time makes so much more sense. All right, Craig, the big question one is how are you?
I'm well, John. Listen, just like my favorite closest MLS soccer team. Yeah, we call it soccer in Canada, just like you folks down in the States. These moves were one major Montreal impact. And wow, I mean, Khabib officially finally retiring, taking that weird photo with Lorenzo on the socials. You get that big title fight at lightweight. I woke up this morning really early, earlier than I normally do, pulled my phone open, and I thought, am I still asleep? Is this a dream? Like, what is this? All of the news that broke was absolutely insane. Big time bantamweight fights, big time lightweight fights. And then just before we come on air, a big time middleweight fight between a couple of guys who lost their respective fights, Jack Hermanson taking on Edmund Shahbazyan. But listen, I'm excited. Like, MMA from now until about June, we have some pretty firmed up plans, and it's insane. Like, there's some really big fights on the way.
Yeah, it's going to get crazy. I'm with you. The other question that I need to know from you immediately is, do we do this sort of in order, or do we do what would probably make sense and start with the lightweight division? I feel like we should start with the lightweight division. Khabib's out. They have booked a title fight. It's Chucky Olives. It's Michael Chandler. Connor and Dustin are sort of still swirling out there. Talk to me about why you think they went with the Oliveira-Chandler booking for the belt. And do you think Dustin Poirier got passed over? Do you think he cares? Make sense of all that.
I mean, listen, Michael Chandler, you and I have been talking about it, and we even said it on the last episode or second to last episode of Early Stoppage. Like, Michael Chandler was starting to rope in people, and so was Dustin Poirier, that weren't even MMA fans. Like, my wife thought it was awesome that Michael Chandler was sucking on a bottle of Poirier's hot sauce and a tiny little Cadillac Escalade toy. Like, I was getting excited for a Poirier-Chandler fight. And just when I thought, hey, that's going to happen, well, then it seemed in the news that Justin Gaethje is going to be taking on Michael Chandler. And I got extremely excited. And then I see that Oliveira gets the fight. So I threw it out there in the YouTube community tab today to see what the fans were thinking. 1,300 votes between your number three and number four fighters. 56% have Oliveira to beat Michael Chandler. I think it's an awesome fight. Listen, is Oliveira just a jiu-jitsu artist? No, he's a good striker. Is Chandler just a wrestler? Well, no, you saw him knock out Dan Hooker in his last fight. So I think stylistically it's a great fight. Is it the biggest money fight you can get? Probably not. I think Poirier and Chandler probably would have sold a little bit more. But listen, Charlie Olives gets his due. It's a fight that I think the fans can get behind. There's just one guy that's really left out here. I think Poirier's not left out. I think he's going to have a fight with Conor McGregor this summer. That's cool. But what do you do with Justin Gaethje in the circumstance?
Yeah, it seems like they're leaving him out there for a reason. I don't know if they're leaving him out there if they can't get the negotiation done with Conor, if they have somebody else that they want him to fight. I mean, I'm looking at the top 10 here. I can't imagine a Hooker fight. Do you give Justin Gaethje Islam Makhachev or vice versa? I don't know how you would look at it that way. Is it too much too soon for Makhachev? He's kind of a top 10 fighter at this point. So, I mean, I'm with you. I think that what may end up happening is Justin Gaethje's hanging out there because he's going to show up wherever those two boys are fighting, make weight, and be the third guy. So we got our title fight. We got our high-profile fight. And then we got our guy that's kind of the wild card scenario here, that if he were to get the belt, he might change things. Do you see anything else at 55 that's relevant? I mean, do you think we're going to see Conor and Poirier for sure?
I really do. I mean, I believe in that. And the wildcard fight, too. I mean, Tony Ferguson's fighting Benil Dariush. That one's May 15th, the same day that we have Oliveira Chandler. The other thing that plays a factor in this, and I think we really need to talk about it, UFC 262, it was just announced before we came on here. That's officially going to be in Houston. Then you have a few events in, what, Florida at the ViStar Veterans Memorial Arena. So we're going to start to have some of these events with fans. Now, I know one of those Canelo fights, it was what, the Liam Smith fight? That was in San Antonio. They had fans at that. Like, they've started to pick up more and more in terms of combat sports and having them live and in front of crowds. So I would have to think some of these really big fights, maybe you reserve them for an atmosphere with fans in attendance. And I think that Poirier-Connor, you just kind of wait until things kind of play themselves out, maybe after June, maybe into July. Do we have an international fight week with people in place? Who knows? But I think that's kind of the play there. I love the Ferguson fight against Dariush, but I don't think it has a whole lot in terms of title implications there.
All right, let's move on to welterweight. We finally got our championship fight booked. In all honesty, it's weird because for so long, we had been wondering what Kamaru Usman's next move was, but the next move was Gilbert Burns. He just barely fought Gilbert Burns. I guess since that fight was such a foregone conclusion that was going to happen, we were already looking to the next fight. The next fight's going to be Jorge Masvidal, April 24th. When you heard this, and there had been a lot of, you know, different incarnations of what might happen. Does Usman get Covington? Does Masvidal get Covington? Like, who's going to be the next fight? When you heard Usman and Masvidal get finalized, were you surprised? Do you think that's the fight to make it, 170 pounds? How'd you feel when you saw that?
I just looked at this mug of skaters going to skate, and I thought, man, I'm a skater in this circumstance. Like, why? Listen, I get it. You give Masvidal his due. You get full camp Masvidal. Is that going to be like Dad Cerrone? I don't know, but my level of give a fuck on this one's pretty low. Like, I'm not excited about this in the least. You saw Usman absolutely mop the floor with Masvidal. Could he catch him with a shot? Could Masvidal catch Usman 100%? But Usman's on that god level flow. He's got GSP paying him compliments at this point in the game. I don't think we need this fight whatsoever. And you look at the division, like, where's Wonderboy fit into all this? Like, where's Colby Covington? Leon Edwards has that controversial fight against Bilal Muhammad, and he feels like he deserves a title shot. But do we really need this? I feel like Masvidal needed like a tune-up before he gets this. But listen, the guy kind of gets his due. And good for him, I guess. That's all I can say.
I'm with you. My only take on this that might be slightly different than yours is just that if you're trying to increase Kamaru Usman's brand, this would do it. But here's my problem with saying this would do it is that he's already fought this guy. So anybody that was a Jorge Masvidal fan that you want to discover Kamaru Usman, first of all, if they were a Jorge Masvidal fan, they're going to hate Kamaru Usman for beating him. Maybe there's some money to be made in people hating Kamaru Usman. But I don't know that you're going to pick up any new fans in this fight that you didn't pick up in the last fight. The only thing I'll say is you have more time to promote it. That's it. So whereas the last week it was like this is 7 days and we're basically putting together a social media campaign to gain interest in this, I think this time around you're going to be able to do a countdown show. You're going to be able to do a lot more. So maybe you will draw a few more eyes. So from that perspective, I can – understand the booking. I do think that Colby Covington at this point is a little bit radioactive. Before we move on to the high profile fight, we just had a very controversial situation with Bilal Muhammad, Leon Edwards. Last time out, we talked about whether Leon Edwards should get a title shot with a win. He seems to think he should get a title shot with a no contest. Where do you fall on the whole Leon Edwards of it? And where do you think he should fall in the division as far as his next opponent goes?
I won't go down the rabbit hole, and I'm sure we'll talk about this at another time, but listen, you get warned one time that you can't poke a guy in the eyes, and then you go out there and poke him in the eye again. Like, this stuff like this can't happen. Like, as we're filming Cage Warriors 121, we talked about this before we came on air, Cartwright Miller headbutts Cartwright. All right, you get a warning, headbutts him again, you lose a point, headbutts him again, loses a point. When the referee said, I'm going to disqualify you, headbutts him again for a fourth time, gets disqualified. How many times do we have to see an illegal shot before we have a disqualification or before we just, end the fight, no contest, whatever? Well, we had that in that Edwards fight. I don't think he deserves a title shot. And I mean, for that high profile fight, John, I mean, Vicente Luque taking on the man himself, Tyron Woodley, like third time's the charm, fourth time's the charm for Tyron. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, this division is interesting to me for a couple of reasons. The first being, sometimes with these guys, and I'll use Stephen Thompson as an example, and then I'll talk about another guy who's sort of falling into that Stephen Thompson category, which is once you fight for the belt and lose, we kind of forget about you, right? Like Gilbert Burns lost. pretty decisively to Kamaru Usman, that still might make you the best, second best 170 pounder in the world. So don't put this guy out to pasture. Let him still eat. Let him. I think you go Burns, Covington. I mean, I think that's an interesting next sort of way to go, just in terms of keeping both of those guys' energy level up. You know, if Jorge Masvidal can get a rematch after what he did, I mean, listen, you know, if my memory serves, Gilbert Burns had Usman a little bit on a, you know, like a baby deer on ice.
He was looking good.
Yeah, so I think that maybe we should forget about this kid. All right, let's move on to middleweight. There's not a title shot to speak of right now, but we have the champion who lost at 205 pounds, and we'll get to light heavyweight in a second. But Israel Adesanya went up, lost to Jan Blachowicz. Obviously, he's coming back down, getting refocused. There's a lot of fights, high-profile fights that are lined up. Go ahead and run them down and tell me if you think anyone's going to emerge from that group. It seems like Adesanya has his eyes set on Darren Till for a couple of reasons. He's an interesting matchup, and he can bring some, you know, interest level. But you tell me in those high-profile fights who you think's going to emerge.
I'm going to go by date. So April 10th, main event, Marvin Vettori, Darren Till. April 17th, poor Robert Whittaker, poor Bobby Knuckles, just can't catch a break. He's got to fight Kelvin Gastelum, which was a fight that was originally booked, well, a few years ago. That's April 17th. And then May 15th, before we came on live, Jack Hermanson taking on Edmund Shahbazyan. Now, that one doesn't really play much of an effect as far as the top half of the division is concerned. Both guys coming off a loss. To me, the funny thing is, Adesanya has already fought Whittaker. He's already fought Gastelum. He's already fought Vettori. So let's start talking about Darren Till because it's fun. I don't think he wants to fight Marvin Vettori. I don't think he does. I think Vettori beats Till, and I'd love to see that rematch. That's a fight that I want out of all of this. I just feel bad for Robert Whittaker. Like, he's pretty deserving of a title shot. I don't think he should have to fight Kelvin Gastelum. And for Gastelum, you're going from a losing streak to beating Ian Heinisch. And I like Ian Heinisch. I think he's a very competent fighter. His story's great. And Gastelum looked pretty good. I mean, his wrestling was great. But then you have to go up so high to fight Whittaker. It's just a silly fight to me.
Yeah, I agree. I think the two guys here, and we talk about the situation with Burns and Thompson, the two guys at middleweight that have that same kind of energy is Paulo Costa and Jared Cannonier. These are guys that are, you know, both, you know, one loss in their last four. Costa, one loss, period, and it's Israel Adesanya. I mean, do you match these two guys up? And see who should be, you know, on the path towards Israel Adesanya after that?
Now, listen, I don't want to get into a Napster controversy, but give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. I mean, that's the fight that you make. You go Costa, you go Cannonier, somebody's lights are getting knocked out. Like, that's the fight to make. But again, doesn't really have a lot in terms of title implications, but what do I know? I mean, Hermanson could beat Shahbazyan, and they could say tomorrow, oh, well, the winner gets a title shot. So it's tricky.
You know, I want to bring up one name and then we'll move on. I want to talk about Kevin Holland, because the question here with Kevin Holland is, does he wait for the dust to settle and find himself in a situation where the Whittaker-Gastelum fight resolves itself, the Vettori Till fight resolves itself, the Hermanson-Shahbazyan fight resolves itself, we get Costa and Cannonier, that fight resolves itself, and Kevin Holland just sits back and picks the guy who looks the most impressive out of all the fights, takes that guy out, and now he's in the fast lane to get in the title shot. One, do you think that's doable? I mean, do you think Kevin Holland could fast-track himself into a late 2021, early 2022 title shot?
Listen, I mean, I got myself into a bit of an awkward spot here with Fight Night Picks this week because, as you know, JHK doing interviews with the show. So he's no longer friend of the show. He's part of the show. Gets weird because Palatnikov definitely didn't like the prediction channels writing him off. John, I say that. I hope Derek Brunson doesn't watch this because you're overlooking poor Derek Brunson. What happens if he wins? I think Holland does win. I love the point that you're making, though. I mean, sit back, relax. You're the type of guy that wants to fight all the time. Keep training. And then, yeah, pick the most exciting guy. Kevin Holland has not had an easy path. Now, take that with a little bit of a grain of salt because Charlie Ontiveros was way outside of his comfort zone and level. But look at what he did against Jacare. So, you know, he can bang with the top half of this division. I think that's a good idea. Wait and see how it plays out. And if Derek Brunson wins, now we're cooking.
Let's move on to light heavyweight, because we talked a little bit about this, obviously because the fight was a couple of weeks ago. Where do you fall on Blachowicz wins? Adesanya is now doing the press tour of, just because I lost, does it mean I'm not still a GOAT? Should we be giving Blachowicz more flowers than we're giving him? Should we be taking more away from Adesanya? How does this all – I mean, are you feeling like, because Blachowicz won, now that he can make a long run at 205 pounds, or do you feel the same about him that you did before the Adesanya fight?
I mean, I've been saying, you know, Adesanya, probably your number one star right now in MMA. Losing definitely kind of takes away from that. He's not going to get the Jones fight anytime soon, so on and so forth. Has everybody forgotten about Jan Blachowicz? I think you bring up a good point. But the trouble is, too, he's in a division. He's 38 years old. You're at the top of a weak division. I know we have some fights coming up. There's only two big ones booked for the top half. Of course, you have your usual players kind of hanging around, your Volkan Uzdemirs and so on and so forth that aren't booked. But I don't know. I mean, what do you do with Jan Blachowicz? Because he just kind of really erased the allure away from your biggest star. He made the middleweight king look a little bit more beatable. But nobody's really talking about him right now. So I think some of those higher profile fights, maybe they'll kind of, you know, get rid of the cloudiness at the top half of the light heavyweight division. But it's a tricky one for me with old Jan Blachowicz right now.
It's a tricky one for me too, because I'm going to do something that no one's ever going to do, has never done before, and will never do moving forward. I'm going to compare Jan Blachowicz to LeBron James. And this is why. Because we've kind of made up our mind about the two of them. And it's like, so last year, LeBron James, it's like, oh, well, he's in the bubble. And if he wins the title this year, we don't think he's going to win it this year because the Clippers are great and all these reasons why he's not going to win. Then he wins. And instead of saying, give him his props and say, we just said, oh, it was the hardest title to win because he was in the bubble and there was no try. So we start taking away from the thing. Pre-fight, it was like, oh, Jan Blachowicz is in a lot of trouble. Then he goes out there and dominates effectively Adesanya, in the sense that Adesanya didn't really get anything off on him all that great. And it's like, we want to take away what we thought Adesanya was just because Blachowicz won. And it's like, no, this guy jumped over the hurdle that you asked him to jump over. Stop moving the goalposts. Give him his credit. And I think that we should be looking at him a little more seriously than we are. Now, in terms of high-profile fights, we don't have a title fight booked as it stands. But we got Reyes and Prochka. We got Smith and Jimmy Crute. What do you like here? And when you sort of look at this division, is there a guy that kind of has an interesting path towards Blachowicz?
It's kind of awkward, right? Because, I mean, Reyes and Jiří were supposed to fight a while ago, a few weeks ago. Supposed to be, what, back in February? That was supposed to be a main event. Now it's moved all the way to May. I think if Jiří wins, boom, title shot. Give him his props. I mean, you're talking Poland versus what? Czech Republic on that one. Like, I can get behind that. That's an exciting fight. Both of those guys really deliver. Dominic Reyes, if he wins, you're not getting a title shot, bud. Sorry. We saw what happened against Jan not that long ago. Smith Crew, it's interesting. But for me, Jimmy lost to Misha. So it's really awkward. Like, that one doesn't have title implications. But I think if Jiří goes out there and looks impressive against Dominic Reyes, boom, title shot, 100%. I mean, former Ryzen champ. What's his last loss? Crow Cop? Like, he hasn't lost in quite a while. So for me, it's Jiří, but I'm a Jiří guy. So I got to say that.
Where's Glover Teixeira fitting all this? He seems to be the guy that if we're waiting for everyone else to emerge, I mean, listen, guys like, you know, our boy, what's his name? It's escaping. Sweet Dreams Hill. If he's a ways away, right? If he might be the guy and we're just waiting for him to sort of come of age, and there's some guys that maybe just aren't ready yet to have a gold belt over their shoulder, Glover seems like a good place filler, right? He can kind of, you book a fight out 3 months, Jan gets some work. Do you think Glover's the guy right now for the next shot?
I mean, that's kind of what I was thinking before the Adesanya fight was announced. I wanted to see Glover fight him. Yeah, you can make that. It's a big step. I mean, you have really big pay-per-views coming up where you already have like two or three title fights. You could slot that fight in there. Just as long as Jan's kind of ready to go. And yeah, I mean, I'd be fine with that one too. It's just weird. I mean, a guy that's, you know, so far up there in terms of age, both of them are, especially for MMA, but it is light heavyweight. I'd be fine with a booking like that though.
So a couple weeks ago, we did heavyweight, so I don't want to get too far deep into it because honestly, if we want to really touch base on it again, we'll just do some clever editing. You'll see us dressed differently. And right now, we'll be talking at heavyweight. But let's talk about it. We got Miocic and Ngannou coming up. We got Tybura Harris. We got Sakai, Shamil. In these fights, do you think that it begins and ends with Miocic and Ngannou and then it's John Jones? Or do you think we've seen a lot of prospects? They're not ready yet, but who do you think, other than that, is going to make some noise here at heavyweight?
So if we go making noise, like you and I have talked about this, Matt's talked about it. We had a whole episode dedicated to like the young up-and-comers in the heavyweight divisions, the Aspinalls, the Dawkus, Cyril Gane. Like, there's a lot of exciting prospects. But yeah, nobody's really kind of all that close. Rozenstruik could still make some noise. You got that title fight. And then did you listen to the episode of Hotboxing this week with Dana White?
I didn't.
It was only like a half hour. It was really short. And it was an awful listen. It was bad. And I liked that show. It was awful. It was all over the place. But the thing that I gained out of it was John Jones going to get the next title shot. John's getting it. John's getting it. Generational talent. Never lost the fight. He's going to get it. That really kind of messes up the top half of this division that was already top heavy. So Jones gets the winner. If Ngannou beats Miocic, I expect Miocic to retire. But if Miocic beats Ngannou again, like, that really kind of makes it awkward at the top half. Does Ngannou then have to fight his former training partner, Cyril Gane? Like, what are we doing here? So I honestly can't tell you much about heavyweight. I'm just going to have to wait and see how it plays out.
Do you see any other scenario besides either? We got like a three-horse race here, like Miocic, Ngannou, and Jones, and they're just taking turns fighting each other for the next couple of years? Or do you think those two fight, John Jones beats the winner, and then just goes on a run at heavyweight like the one he went on light heavyweight? Which is a more likely scenario for you?
You think we're going to get like the three kings?
We could. That's what I'm wondering. And then maybe one of these guys like Gane or somebody else slips into the fourth spot.
Yeah, I mean, you can't forget about, you know, you still have Lewis there. I know Curtis Blaydes lost emphatically, but he's kind of there too. I just see this weird log jam continuing. It's great that we have the three or four prospects making the moves up, but I think it's going to be a log jam still for a while. Even if you lose Miocic, you still have the you know, four, five, six. Volkov's still there too, right? Romanov's coming up. Like, my guy Juan Espino's coming up. It's a weird spot if you're a heavyweight.
I'm just going to say this. I think that Ngannou's got the power, obviously, to drop Jones. I think Miocic has a lot of ways to beat Jones. I don't think he can out-grapple him, but I do think he could, potentially take him down, maybe get top position, but or just, you know, work the body, work the head like he did with DC. So those guys are on John Jones's level. I just got this weird feeling, Craig, that if John Jones gets the belt, that he's going to just make a lot of these guys that we think are okay in the heavyweight division look very average. Like, I think if John Jones fought Derek Lewis would look very average. And I think maybe even Cyril Gane would look very average. I just think John Jones would just nullify what these guys do. That's how I feel.
It's a weird spot. It's like if you had a baseball team with a bunch of first basemen, but not like the new first baseman. Like if you had a bunch of Mark Teixeiras on your team, like that's what you got. A bunch of Adam Dunns on your team, the big donkey. So it's a weird spot for me. We'll just have to see how it plays out.
Yeah, good. There's a lot of guys in the heavyweight division that are good enough to make an all-star team, just not every year. So I'm with you. Like Adam Dunn, those kind of guys. All right, let's move on to bantamweight. A couple of interesting fights. But we got to talk about what happened at the top. I mean, obviously, Aljamain Sterling has the belt now. But Petrion is not crazy about the way things went, which you can understand. So right from the beginning, with everything that's going on in this division, and we finally got Dillashaw booked, and Cody Garbrandt seems to come back to the division where he was flirting a little bit with 25 there for a minute. Do you think that you just have to rebook the title fight between Sterling and Jan?
I mean, there's two big schools of thought, right? There's the fans that say, we got to rebook this. And then there's Kevin Ioli and a select few that say, nope, no dice. Like, let's just play on, you know, Jan lost. Don't be a sore loser. Go out there and fight somebody else. To me, I'd like to see it rebooked. I don't know about you, but I mean, Jan was convincingly taken over. Now, I did have the first and second round scored for Sterling, third round for Jan, fourth round was going Jan's way. And I think he would have gone on to win the fight handily. And that's kind of how we had predicted it was going to happen. Sterling's going to blow his load early because he goes hot and heavy. And if he can't get a finish, then it's just going to be on taking over like a Floyd Mayweather style fight, five rounds. So I'd like to see that rebooked. But these fights that have recently been announced, especially the announcements from last night, holy crap. I mean, listen, can't stop addicted to the shindig, John. This was a fight that I wanted to see, and now I get to see it on May 8th. Like, I'm so excited. So excited.
So, all right, well, let's talk about that. Do you prefer the Dillashaw-Sondhagen fight or the Garbrandt fight? Because as much as I think Cody Garbrandt's sort of turned things around, we got COVID complications there, and we got maybe a guy. There's a scenario where Rob Font makes Cody Garbrandt look real bad. So what do you think about those two fights? I mean how do you awesome. Think,
Go ahead.
Do you think that Dillashaw, like the time off is going to really affect him or what?
It could. You know, I'm trying to think. Last weekend we had a training lab fighter in Rafa Garcia, and he had a fight on short notice in the UFC. He fought Nazareth Hackpress. Did he look good? No. Did he look bad? No. I mean, he kept moving forward. Like, he kind of showed that perseverance. Training lab guys have had weird results lately. I mean, look at Syed Awad over with Bellator. Kind of been a rocky ride. We've had other guys. Cub Swanson's got a big fight booked against Giga Chikadze, so we'll see how he makes out. But TJ Dillashaw is really the guy, the cog that turns the wheel. That doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm talking about. I hope that Dillashaw doesn't kind of miss a step. We've seen kind of older bantamweights here recently look good. I mean, Jose Aldo looked good against Marlon Vera. We've seen, Uriah Faber come in and fight against a decent fighter in Ricky Simone, finish him, and then go out and fight Piotr Jan and get finished himself. So, to me, I hope Dillashaw hasn't missed a step. If you get 100% Dillashaw against Sandhagen, that's a great fight. Rob Font Garbrandt's the really interesting one because, like you said, Garbrandt's kind of had the COVID long-haul symptoms. He's had a lot of complications due to that. How's he going to look against Font? Because he looked amazing against the Sun Tsao, and he had health issues going into the Sun Tsao fight, right? So he had issues before that. He overcame them. Your son is probably his biggest fan. I'll throw my buddy's girlfriend, Addie. She's another huge Garbrandt fan. So, Addie, if you're watching, good luck. But, yeah, I mean, I love the fight. Listen, New England Cartel taking over. I know Calvin Kattar didn't look all that impressive against Max Holloway. He got beaten impressively, but he didn't look all that impressive himself. Huge opportunity for Font, a guy that I'm sure I've written off before. And he's just a little fella. I mean, I've seen him in person. He is not a very tall man, but man, can he throw his hands. So I love those two fights, Sandhagen and Dillashaw. That's May 8th. And on May 22nd, you get Font Garbrandt. So a lot of big fights coming up in that division.
Yeah, I like the health of the division overall. A couple guys we didn't mention, Jose Aldo's still kicking around. Pedro Munhoz, we got Marlon Moraes. I mean, he hasn't been fighting all that great as of late, but, you know, Cruz is coming off a win. Kyler Phillips, like you talked about. Sun Tsao has really been shuffling, but Dvalishvili, Chito Vera.
Stamen.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in this division. I like the overall health. We haven't mentioned Sugar Sean O'Malley coming back against Thomas Almeida at the end of the month. So I'm interested to see a few guys. I'm really going to watch that Sugar Sean O'Malley fight with a pretty interested eye, not because of who Sugar Sean O'Malley puts himself out to be in terms of a star, but this kid was talented enough and fought good enough to even be in the conversation for being a star, and I want to see if he can get back to that.
Where does Davy Grant fit into all this?
He doesn't. Not for me.
Yes, all he right, does.
So featherweight. We got a booked title fight. We got Volkanovski Ortega. It's happening March 27th, which is great because finally we've stopped this Max Holloway business. We got Shane Burgos fighting Edson Barbosa on the 15th. There's your high-profile fight. How are you feeling about this division? I mean, we kind of lost its footing a little bit, but it seems to be like with the reemergence of Brian Ortega that we can kind of get somewhere. How are you feeling about 145 pounds?
I'm still kind of put out because, you know, you look at the top, like you said, you have that title fight March 27th. Then I go down through the list of fighters that don't have bookings. TKZ doesn't have a booking. Kattar doesn't have a fight. Zabit doesn't have a fight. Josh Emmett doesn't have a fight. Danny Ye just beat Gavin Tucker. Yikes. Here recently. Who else have we got? Yair Rodriguez. Have we talked about this guy? Have we said anything about him? Like, no information was ever divulged about that whole Dana White conversation. Arnold Allen has a fight against Sadiq Yusuff April 10th. That's exciting. Cub Swanson's fighting Giga Chikadze. Jeremy Stevens is fighting Jakar Close. Dawoodu's fighting Movsar Evloev. That's a big fight. That's the one that I'm excited about because, listen, can the Canadian beat the Russian? I don't know, but I love it. So there are some good fights, but, like, you continue to go down through. Topuria's a young up-and-comer. Ryan Hall doesn't have a fight coming up. Zubair Tukugov lost his last fight. So I'm starting to get, like, into the deep cuts now. It's a good division, but I need to see Zabit and Yair Rodriguez in 2021.
I agree. And I'm going to give you a horrible example here because of just the nature of it. But it's true. So from that perspective, it kind of makes sense for this division. You know, when you're a single guy and you're kind of out there, right, and you're getting numbers and you're hooking up with girls, there are times when you are busy enough in that life that sometimes you'll forget about a girl. And you'll say to yourself, you know, because whatever, for whatever reason, she's not doesn't have that dynamic personality, but she's fun, she's cool, maybe she's great in bed, whatever she is, right? But you'll forget about her. That's how I feel like the UFC looks at featherweight. It's this division that's got a lot of really fun fights, but it's almost like they got to be reminded that it's a division in their promotion. It's like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, guys, yeah, Dana's had 18 dinners with Khabib. Have one with Zabit. Why don't you have a fight with Zabit? Get this kid booked. Like, you're so busy feeding, you know, picking up checks for Khabib, send a location to Zabit. And I think that that's what bothers me. I mean, I understood it when they were running back to Ortega. I'm sorry, the Volkanovski Holloway fights. I got it. Let's put the whole division on ice because we're resolving this thing. Well, it's resolved now. We've moved on to Ortega. So let's get this thing moving. Let's get going. You know, let's water all the plants, not just have the one in the corner that's directly in the sun growing high as hell. So that's a little bit what frustrates me about 145 pounds.
That's a clip for social media.
It is. It's social breakout. Let's get the team on it. Let's move on to 125 pounds. We have a champion, Davison Figueiredo. We have a challenger, Brandon Moreno. He's challenged for this belt before. Some people thought he did better than others. I thought he did really well. Some people were like, it was Figgy's fight throughout. June 12th, they're hooking it up. We got a high-profile fight, Chanel and Perez. Askar Askarov just won. Kai Kara-French just won. So this division as well has some health. But again, now if we're comparing it to 145, it does feel like it gets a little bit more of the attention of the UFC, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a lot of the attention. The trouble is for it. Joe B out. You've got all this new talent coming in. I mean, David Dvorak's got a fight booked. I mean, he's a good fighter. You've got that fight between Matt Schnell and Alex Perez. Who slots in where? Because, I mean, Perez just lost in his title shot. That's May 15th. And we just had UFC 2 Figgy 6, where you had the Moreno fight against Figueiredo. Now they're going to fight on June 12th. Like, we're really starting to get out there. What does Askar Askarov do? He's ranked what? Second, something like that. My guy, undefeated. And then you've got some, again, young up-and-comers. Amir Albazi on a nice little win streak. Suma Derji coming down to 125 starching guys. So I love this division. I've always been in favor of it. You know, like, we're talking about fights way outside of the UFC. Like, Sean Santella's fighting Jose Torres. Torres got the raw end of the deal with the UFC. Like, there's great talent at flyweight. You just have to look for it. For me, I'm excited. It's just now it's drawn out. Like, we're talking into June for a title fight. Kind of holds things up a little bit.
I agree. Speaking of flyweights, let's move on to flyweight. This time in the women's division, we have a title shot in that division. Valentina Shevchenko and, her name escaping.
Jessica Andrade.
I don't know why I couldn't get her first name. April 24th. So they're going to hook it up. What are your thoughts on that as a title fight? Do you think that this is a legit night where the title could change hands?
So everybody talks about Jessica Andrade at 135 when she was throwing people around, and then she fights at 115 and she's still throwing people around and throwing Rose Namajunas on her head, and then she comes to 125, and I feel like a lot of people are just talking about the past and they don't focus on the Jessica Andrade fight that she had against Caitlin Chookagian when she hit her in the stomach and Chookagian ran to the other side of the octagon. Like, Jessica Andrade is still the fighter that she used to be, but she definitely deserves this shot. I mean, she beat a legit fighter in Chookagian. It's a new fight. You know, we can get excited about it. And hey, if Valentina wins, maybe you book her up at bantamweight. You have her fight Amanda Nunes for a third time. I don't know. Or you have her do the Anderson Silva thing where she continues to clean it out. Chookagian's got a fight against Araujo that's coming up in May. I'm excited about some up and comers. I mean, Alexa Grasso's looked good in her last two. Tyler Santos has looked pretty good since Matt and I laid an egg and said, you know, put your house on Molly McCann back in the summer. Yikes. But she looked really good against Jillian Robertson her last time out. So there's a lot of new fighters coming in at 125, Menaf Fiorot, so on and so forth. I like that title fight, though. I mean, Valentina and Andrade, that's a legit fight. That's one that can really get people excited about this division.
Well, let's talk Laura Murphy, because she was our Fighter of the Year last year, Women's Fighter of the Year last year. What do you think about her being in that position? If you're her, do you accept any fight? It's not a title fight at this point. Or are you just like texting Dana like, hey, wherever Andrade and Shevchenko are fighting, I'm showing up and I'll be there on weight, ready to go.
Well, I mean, you look at Lauren Murphy in her last time out, she wasn't supposed to fight way outside of the rankings. She's supposed to fight Cynthia Calvillo. And in the 11th hour, she gets Lilia Shakarova. And it was like, oh, well, Lilia, you know, she trains with the guys at GMC, not GNC. She's not just on the linoleum floor rolling around. She's really training with a great crop of fighters. She has a really good background. Lauren Murphy schooled her. Like, they shouldn't have even been in the octagon that night. Now, again, credit where it's due. Lauren Murphy's on a heater of a run, and she looked amazing in that fight. It's just weird because she's almost in, like, the Glover Teixeira mode right now. You're kind of forgetting about Lauren Murphy. She's on a tidy little win streak. What do you do with her? I think she probably has to win another fight, which is, you know, it's disappointing, but that's kind of the scoop. I mean, you fought somebody that was outside of the rankings. It was like when Kevin Holland fought Charlie Ontiveros. Well, then he had to fight Jacare, and then he gets to fight for the title. Now, was he as high as she was in the rankings? No, but I think Murphy needs one more.
Yeah, I want to finish on a high note, so let's go ahead and jump to featherweight at this point, because really there's only one book fight of relevance. No title fights. Listen, I mean, do you think they just let the Spencer Wolf fight just turn the lights out and just tell whoever wins, listen, you really need to make 135.
Wow, Megan Anderson seems to think so. But yeah, I mean, Danielle Wolf's 1-0. Felicia Spencer's, what, 9-2? And her two losses are to Megan Anderson. Or not Megan Anderson. She beat Megan Anderson. To Amanda Cyborg. Nunes and Chris Cyborg. So yeah, shut the lights out. And just before we head out, I mean, strawweight. Wow. Strawweight's on fire. Like, Zhang Namajunas, it was just announced for April 24th. You got Esparza, Yan Xiaonan. You got Tatiana Suarez hanging out in the background. Nina Ansarov's got a fight coming up against Mackenzie Dern. We can't forget about strawweight. You got to get excited about that.
Oh, I'm definitely excited.
Yan Jacek's hanging out.
Yeah, we got the Zhang Namajunas fight, like you said. There's a lot of interesting fights here. We got, you know, Tatiana Suarez, who it feels like we haven't seen in 5 years, much less just one. You know, Claudia Gadelha is always interesting. We got, you know, I like the emergence, like you said, of Mackenzie Dern. We're going to see a lot, I think.
Despite the fact that she's
fighting Nina Ansarov next. I'm interested to see what happens there. So, you know, there's still Amanda Ribas, even though she lost. There's some things going on there. So, yeah, strawweight's a division you can get excited about. All right, let's end with the GOAT, women's bantamweight. I'm going to say something right now that's going to be very upsetting to one person in particular. There is no title fight booked at 135 pounds. So I apologize, Juliana Pena, if you are listening. There's no title shot booked at 135 pounds. I know you did everything that you could to get it booked. It hasn't happened yet. What do you think here? I mean, it feels cleaned out. I know that we've talked about this before, you have not a lot, if any, interest in a Juliana Pena fight with Amanda Nunes. How's this division feel for you?
So we've got Jermaine Durandamy up near the top. We got Holly Holm up near the top. And then what? Like, I mean, Juliana Pena didn't beat Jermaine Durandamy. She got submitted by the kickboxer. We got a fight this weekend. Macy Chasson fighting Marion Renault. Do you give the 43-year-old gym teacher? John, how old are you?
I'm 43 years old. I teach ELA, though. I teach English.
You imagine, like, 43, and you're fighting a young buck or a young gal in that case. Like, it's just so weird. So there's that fight this weekend. So Jara Eubanks is fighting Carol Hosa coming up, this spring. So it's a weird division. Aspen Ladd doesn't have anything booked. She hasn't fought in a long time. Panny Kanzad's on a roll. She beat Eubanks her last time out. Like, there's some stuff to get excited about, but there's not enough booked up top. And I cannot get behind Pena fighting Nunes at this point.
right, let's get out of here on this. Is there any chance that you think Amanda Nunes does that thing where she retires just because the division needs to catch up? And she spends a couple of, like, the formative years with her kid, you know, one, two, three, get the kid talking, get the kid walking. And then you come back, and now the division is whatever it is. There's somebody's going to emerge. Somebody's potentially going to be dominant. And if they haven't, at least there'll be new faces. I mean, do you think it's time for her to walk away, even if she knows she's coming back?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Like, you know, she looked incredibly impressive when she fought Megan Anderson at 45. Like, you've done everything. You're one of the greatest fighters of all time. I don't think she has to prove anything else by beating Juliana Pena or any of the ladies that we mentioned here. So, yeah. I mean, do whatever you need to do. If gaining more and more paychecks like that is what you need to do, then go ahead. Fight some of these fighters out here. Fight Juliana Pena next. But if you don't need to, yeah, hang out at home. Nina's got a fight against Mackenzie Dern. Do whatever you need to do. I don't need to see any more of the title fights.
All right, we're going to end this in a shameless way. After I'm done asking you to hand out grades, I want you to just tell us what's going on with the you know what? Let's flip that. Tell us what's going on with the channel, and then they can wait for the grades.
Well, I mean, again, like we've always said, friend of the show, you know, it's kind of like a fun little thing that we say here. But now one of the friend of the show is actually like a part of the show. So we have JHK MMA, John Hyun Ko. He's doing interviews. We had the interview with Sasha Plotnikov, which, again, was pretty awkward because we didn't pick him to win. And on the national broadcast, he was kind of like, hey, those prediction channels, smarten up. And then I went in the DMs. And anyway, we're all good with Sasha now. But yeah, that just came out. He's got a big fight coming up. I don't know if you saw it, but he's fighting Impa Kasanganai at 170 pounds. Impa's moving down. So that's an interesting fight. Just dropped today, Joe Selecki. So he had a pretty good conversation with John about the fight that he has coming up against A10, Jim Miller. That's a big one. So we're going to have more interviews. Matt and I are going to revamp This Week in MMA 3.0. Yikes. So that's going to be fun. It's going to be a shorter show. You know, obviously it's totally different than Early Stoppage. It's totally different than Question Mark Kicks or any of the picks and predictions. Like, we go kind of way off the wall, and it's a lot of fun. So we're going to look at revamping that one more time. And there's more written content over on the site. So fightnightpicks.com, you can find the interview write-ups. Josh Hart's doing a lot of cool stuff over there, editing and writing. So check that stuff out too. But a lot of moving pieces with Fight Night Picks these days.
Absolutely. You guys should think about doing a feature on This Week in MMA where you take somebody from the past and then forget it. Okay, so give me a grade. I'll go by the divisions real quick. Lightweight,
B-.
Welterweight.
B+.
Middleweight.
A.
Light heavyweight.
C.
Heavyweight.
C+.
Flyweight.
A+.
Bantamweight.
B+.
Featherweight.
B-, and it's not their fault.
Women's featherweight.
What's the lowest grade you can get? Can you get an F- in school?
No, we don't give them out.
Oh, you guys give, like, participation stuff? Yeah, I'll go F- if that was a thing.
We just give, like, emoticons. Strawweight. Women's.
So if women's featherweight is like needs improvement, if that's a nice thing to say, strawweight's good. Strawweight's like an A, solid A.
Women's flyweight.
It's coming up. I'd say B.
Women's bantamweight.
C-.
Hashtag the goat. All right, guys, there you have it. Hit us in the comments. Hit us on Twitter. Hit us on social media. I can be followed at SM Cornerman. Craig can be followed at Craig Allen FP.